Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
It is Friday when we play that song here on Palmetto Mornings. It's 8:38 on this Friday, July 30th edition of Palmetto Mornings. 77 degrees at 8:30 in the morning. Listen, folks, there will be a time when we say the time and temperature, and it's going to be like 15 degrees. So we'll call it what it is. A win is a win, for sure.
I know.
I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer.
And, of course, this is Palmetto Mornings on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. As we have been reporting all week long, last night, Thursday night here in Rock Hill, was our opportunity for folks in this part of the state to hear more about the new districts that could be drawn for the South Carolina House and Senate seats, as well as the U.S. House. Remember, this is done every 10 years once we get back the census data.
Right.
A group of senators, they're traveling around the state to make sure everyone has a chance to give their input. Senators right now are just kind of listening, and they're hearing from folks what they want and don't want. And then what's the next step in this process? Well, that's why we're bringing in Senator Michael Johnson to Palmetto Mornings. Good morning to you, Senator.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
Hey, we're doing good.
We're doing great. So, Senator Johnson, let's jump right on in last night. Kind of walk us through what took place, maybe how many people were in the audience. Kind of set the scene for us if we couldn't be there in person.
Sure. Yeah, there were several hundred residents from Fairfield, Chester, Lancaster, York counties. And this was their opportunity to testify before the subcommittee and to give them their thoughts on what they want their voting districts to look like, whether that is local at a municipal level or their Senate. People talked about a wide variety of those kind of topics and kind of what they think. It really was a chance for the public to give input to those senators who sit on that committee, so they can go back to Columbia at some point and draw lines once all that information is back to us.
One thing that I found a little confusing is the fact that the census has its numbers, and the numbers are in, and a lot of what is decided is based on the numbers. So the numbers can't be changed, but how the districts are drawn can be. What if the numbers are not a true reflection of the location?
Well, and isn't that kind of the ultimate argument that goes on through our court system from time to time of how they do it? You know, I think the goal, and obviously I don't sit on that subcommittee and I can't speak for that subcommittee, but I think their goal is to do exactly what they said last night, get input from people, comply with the law and draw districts that reflect areas. You know, when you have high density populations, you're going to have smaller districts. When you have rural areas, you're going to have larger. I mean, that just makes sense. At the end of the day, these districts have to, you got to have X amount of people in a district. And so I think the goal of that committee and of the Senate as a whole is to draw lines that makes sense geographically. And just let's, you know, but I think one of the things you got to remember is we don't have all of the data yet. The final round of data will be in August. So we're August, September. So we're still, this is one of the many steps in a process that will eventually lead the Senate to pass new district lines.
Senator Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong. When we look at redrawing these lines, we're not adding or taking away districts. So a city, a county, our state, we're not losing or gaining. They're just making sure everything is equal and dividing it among what's already there. Is that correct? Or are we adding and gaining districts and seats and house seats?
Sure. And, you know, in the Senate, we have 46 senators. Originally, they were the 46 counties. Each county had a senator. Supreme Court ruled decades ago, one man, one vote. So now we divide our Senate districts based on population. So you're absolutely correct. The Senate is not going to gain or lose a senator. What we're going to do is simply make sure that for instance, Senator A doesn't represent 180,000 people and Senator B represents 50,000 people. That's not one man, one vote. They have to both represent within a certain percentage the same amount of people.
You're trying to balance a plane, as they like to say sometimes, or the boat, right? You've got the same amount of people on there, but
bobsled with the three of us.
There you go. You just want to make sure it's equal enough for everyone, so everyone has their right. Senator Johnson, there were a lot of people from Rock Hill and Indianland. They seem to be the most vocal. What were some of their concerns? And then with that knowledge, what's the next step in the process?
Yeah, I think most of the concerns, people wanted to make sure that the district they lived in reflects the community. And, you know, I think that's what basically everybody wants at the end of the day. And so I think what happens now is that committee, they have many more public hearings. They'll be doing that all of next week as well. So they're going to do all of that. Then they sit down, they take the data, they start drawing lines, and then sometime in September, October, the legislature will go back into session, and we'll start looking at maps for the very first time. A lot of people believe that if you're a senator, you're just looking at these maps all the time. I've not seen any maps. We don't have the hard data, and that's something very important to know. They'll draw the data. They'll draw these maps, and then the Senate will debate, as we are wont to do, for probably several days, if not a week or two, and then we'll send them out. And throughout that process, I would encourage the public to continue to be dialed in. I mean, last night was your first opportunity to tell your senator what you thought. You should continue to do so, though. You should continue to give feedback and let us know once you see more defined maps. And the first map out may not be the one it may be. I don't know. But I would encourage people to stay involved in this process.
Senator Johnson,
I think that's great advice right there, because transparency is a buzzword right now. People like to complain. People like to ask questions. But if you want to understand the process, you need to be involved.
So once everything is done, the maps have been drawn, it has been voted on. What happens if people are still upset with the final product? What happens? Is this something that could be tied up in the courts or the legal system and really we don't get anywhere? Or is this pretty much once it's voted on, it's passed, it's done, and then we just wait for another 10 years?
No, I think you've seen lawsuits throughout our country on districts and how they've been drawn and what they look like. And certainly this could go to the courts. The goal is to draw maps that survive that scrutiny and actually just that meet the requirements of the law. And I think that's what the Senate will do. Will there be lawsuits? I can't speak to that. But my goal is at the end of the day that we have lines that are fair, that represent our areas, represented so that everyone in South Carolina can feel that, you know, if you're a Democrat and you live in a Republican district, you may say, oh, well, I feel disenfranchised, and vice versa. You're a Republican living in a Democrat district. I feel disenfranchised. The reality is that you can't have all Democrat, 100% Democrat districts and 100% Republican districts, and you shouldn't have that either. That's the reality. Is that would not be good for our democracy. What we should have are districts that kind of reflect your area geographically. You know, county lines, town lines, neighborhoods. Try to keep these people together. Sometimes that's possible. Sometimes it's not just due to the pure numbers. But my hope is that whatever happens will survive the scrutiny of the courts if that happens. And that, you know, next year in 2022, House members and congressmen will run with the new lines. And in 2024, the Senate will run with its new lines.
Gotcha. While we have you here, Senator Johnson, if you can, real quick, update us on the latest when it comes to New Indy. Where do we stand with this right now?
Well, we continue to battle with New Indy, unfortunately. I sent a letter out earlier this week. I just kind of hit my my limits, and I continue to get dozens of complaints on a daily basis from people who are suffering from the hydrogen sulfide levels. And I just ask New Indy to comply in 30 days. Let's get this done. This can be done. This is a technology decision. And I've asked them to apply the manpower, put the technology in place. Let's fix this problem once and for all. And if they don't, you know, the legislature will go back in January, and if necessary, I'm going to file necessary legislation to require them to. And I will begin that process in January, certainly. My hope is, though, that they're going to be a good neighbor and they're going to make this go away. But certainly, you know, if you live in certain parts of Fort Mill, Indian Land, Lancaster County, you are suffering from the levels of hydrogen sulfide in the air.
You very much being on top of this, and hopefully we will get some resolution here soon, because we are seeing so much in terms of quality of life and those who are suffering with this smell. So, I tell you.
Senator Michael Johnson, as always, sir, thank you so much for your time. I know you update folks that you serve, as well as other folks that just might be interested to hear your thoughts on social media with your newsletter. So we encourage folks to continue to follow you on social media if they want to get the latest. Senator Johnson, have a great weekend. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Patty. Y'all have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.